Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 33 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm joined by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Hold on. Before I say anything, come on. You got to love it, man. You got to love it.
How about the New York Knicks? You're very right. What an incredible run this past week.
Well, to answer your first question, I'm doing great. I had a good Valentine's Day, President's Day weekend. You know, we took a little break, but we're going to get back on the grind now. Spring training coming up, so we'll have some baseball. I mean, pitchers and catchers report in 2 days, which is super exciting. We got some Yankees-Mets stuff to be excited about. And, man, the New York Knicks. Oh, my God. So I'm getting way too high. I'm getting way too high on this team. It's bad.
The Knicks are currently in the sixth seed. They're 5 games out of the one seed, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. Very solid for this Knicks team.
5-2 in the last 7, to be more like.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been a nice little
run. And we're 5-0 against teams that aren't the Miami Heat in our last 5 against. Yeah. Oh, man. They're in a good run.
So, you know what, let's start. We haven't recorded in a while. It's been over, I think, a week and a half now. So let's start. The furthest thing that's happened has been the D. Rose trade. We talked about it a little bit in our last episode, but just kind of potential it because we weren't sure if it was actually going to happen. It did end up happening. All they had to give up was Dennis Smith Jr. and a second round pick. And I think that it's worked out really well for them so far, just from D. Rose's play.
Well, first things first, their bench unit has been so much better with him there. I kind of like what they're doing with the dual ball handler situation off the bench with IQ and Rose. And I know that after Saturday night's game, they were at a plus 74 with their bench. I didn't check the stats or Twitter or anything like that so much after tonight's game because we're recording this like 30 minutes after the Knicks just beat the Hawks.
Which was a great game.
Yeah, and, like, even, like, when Derrick Rose doesn't show up in, like, the score sheet the way he has tonight, like, he's playing better than Austin Rivers did. And just his presence there, like, you can see the veteran presence. Like, I follow, like the Knicks Twitter account, like, the MSG or, like, the SNY Knicks videos. I don't know if you follow them.
Yeah.
They're big on, like, the more, like, fan side of the Knicks. And I love that. Like, I love that account. And they're always talking about, like, they're showing these clips of, like, Derrick Rose – talking to IQ, Derrick Rose, talking to Julius Randle, talking to Obi Toppin, like helping these young guys develop. And that was a really good trade. And I to go back on that, they traded for him like last Sunday. So it's about 8 days ago. And they lost to the Miami Heat at home that day in a tough one. And then they lost on Tuesday in what was probably the most gut-wrenching loss of the year. RJ missed a layup at the end. And they kind of blew a fourth-quarter lead. And it just was a bad couple of losses back-to-back. But then you bounce back with winning these last 3 games by a combined 51 points. And man, is that refreshing. They're 14-15, which like, that's nothing. That's not sexy, but
hey, you
know, that's good enough for a sixth seed in the East right now with how close the middle of the pack in the East is. And they're winning the games that they need to win. Like beating Atlanta is huge because that's the type of team that you're going to be fighting for one of those spots in the East with towards the bottom of like the bottom four, bottom six spots or whatever. Cause I think it's pretty well known that the top four in the East, no matter how it ends up, whichever order, it's going to end up being Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Boston. I say Boston more hesitantly because they've been playing kind of bad.
No, because look, Boston right now, the only reason why they're still the fourth seed is because the Pacers have been sucking as bad as they have recently. I think both of them are 3-7 in their last 10 games.
And we're right behind those two teams now.
Exactly. Look, I think,
and I'm not saying the Knicks are going to finish fourth in the East because they probably will not.
Right now, the Knicks are in a spot where they can, with if they have consistent play, I believe that they could be a 5 seed in this East. That's extremely one, not that good. I mean, really, the only teams that are, like you said, are really
Brooklyn's really good. The Sixers are a lot better this year, and they've got a better head coach. Joel Embiid's probably gonna. It's him and LeBron right now in the MVP race. And probably
look, it's Sixers, Bucks, and Nets. I think that's going to stay as the top 3 seeds. Maybe the Celtics are able to kind of fill in there. If
I think those will be the top 3 at this point. Yeah. And I threw Boston in there because they've just been perennially good in the East and look, well-coached.
The Knicks right now, obviously, we're not even halfway through the season, but the Knicks can go from anywhere from the 4 seed to pretty much the 12, the 11 or 12 seed in a matter of 3 or 4 games. I mean, right now the 11 seed is the Hawks, who are 11-16. They're 7 games out. The Knicks are 5 games out. That's a 2-game difference. That's not that hard. That's really something that could just be a really bad stretch from happening for this Knicks team. Look, I really like the play of Julius Randle. I believe that he should be an all-star based off of tonight's game even. I mean, 44-9-5 is something you obviously want to see. His progression from last season has been absolutely incredible. I am very glad that my predictions at the beginning of the year were wrong, because I wanted him gone.
I think everyone wanted him gone at a certain point, especially after last year. It was a disappointing signing. This year is having a career year, and he dropped 44 points tonight.
Look, I'm extremely happy with his play, with his contribution to this team. And look, so recently this Knicks team lost Mitchell Robinson, the fractured hand thing, I believe it was. He's out for, what, 6-ish weeks around that?
Yeah, right? 4 to 6 is what I saw. So it'll be at least a month. So let's say we get Mitch back, like, late March. Right now, and I don't know if this is sustainable, right now Nerlens Noel has been good enough. He's not putting up the same type of numbers that Mitchell Robinson is, but there was a little spurt tonight where he got 2 blocks, caught a lob, made some good defensive plays. He's hustling out there. He's playing good enough defense. You know, I'd like to see him foul a little less, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think that if there's any, Nerlens Noel has done a good enough job of filling in, at least so far. Obviously, there's still a lot more time before Robinson comes back. But I liked the Noel signing at the beginning of the year. I thought that he was going to be somebody that would be a very good kind of 1-2 punch with Robinson. So the fact that right now he's filling in for that role, I'm not too concerned. I obviously would want Mitchell Robinson back in that situation, but I don't believe that Noel's a bad choice for that spot.
Yeah, and I don't expect them to trade. Like, I've seen some, like I think Andre Drummond's going to get moved. I think that trading for Drummond would be redundant at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
Because I don't really not that the Knicks big men are anything special or anything great, but, like, adding on to that is I don't know how I'd feel about that. If I want the Knicks to make another move, I'd want them to get a wing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a wing guy, like Bullock and Burks are like that. There are small forwards right now. And, like, you know, that's the most versatile position in the league, small forward.
Yeah, and
most of the best players are. That's LeBron. That's KD. That's Kawhi. That's, you know what I mean?
Look, so, I like this Knicks team. I don't believe that right now having Bullock in the starting lineup is something that you want to continue doing.
Yeah, obviously, it's not optimal. You're right.
And, like, look, RJ has been playing better. Obviously, there's still that inconsistency that we're hoping gets better over towards the end of the season.
The last two games he's been better, but then he had a rough patch, and, you know, like,
yeah. So honestly, I think
second scoring option. So yeah, you'd like to see him be more consistent, which is what we hoped for at the beginning of the year, and he's showing more spurts than he has last year. He's playing overall better than last year. I don't know how many points he had tonight, but I think he is the Knicks' second leading scorer.
Yes, that's true.
So you know, crazy. Look at the stats from tonight's game. What were you going
to
say?
No, I just want to say, like, just thinking about how crazy it would be. I mean, think about what would have happened if the Knicks got the number one pick instead of ending up with number three. Just how everything would have changed. Because
what, Zion instead? Because then you probably don't get.
You don't get Randall, and then you don't end up with people like Quickly, IQ, and you don't get Obi Toppin, and obviously Obi Toppin hasn't really done too much.
It seems to have worked itself out pretty well.
If the Knicks got that first pick in that draft, I don't think any of this would have happened. I don't think that.
The one thing about that, the caveat there is that perhaps the KD Kyrie Irving thing happens.
That's what I'm thinking, but still, like, I'm honestly glad that I know it's weird to say, and I know that I'll probably get hate for this, but I believe that the Knicks right now are in a more optimal spot for the least long-term future than the Nets are. Because the Nets right now, yeah, you know what? You have 3 of the best players in the league on your team in your starting lineup. But one, the chemistry just isn't there. I don't trust Kyrie.
I think the Nets are playing right now, actually. I think they're beating Sacramento. Right,
and look, James Harden has stepped up as a playmaker. I think he had like 16 assists the other day.
Yeah, the Nets are up 4, but they don't play defense. Right now it's less than a minute until half, about 45 seconds left in the half. Nets 68, Sacramento Kings 64. And they're an all right offensive team, but, like, did the Knicks allow 64 points and a half to the Sacramento Kings? No.
No.
Look, and now it's 65, but
this Nets team obviously is in a much more optimal spot.
Win now, championship potential, like caliber team, yes.
Yeah. Look, the Nets will win a championship in the next two seasons, I think.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much set in stone, especially if the Anthony Davis thing.
If they don't, then that's absolutely crazy.
If they don't, I will laugh my ass off. But, you know, I've pretty much accepted that they will win a championship with those three guys. But, yeah, back to the team that runs New York, because no matter how good the Nets are, the Knicks run New York. They've won 5 of their last 7. They've won 3 in a row. They haven't won 4 games in a row yet this season. If they could get that done in Orlando on Wednesday night, that's another team that they're not as much battling for a spot in the playoffs. I mean, they've lost 8 of their last 10. The Knicks beat them earlier in the season at Madison Square Garden on like a Monday matinee on like Martin Luther King Day. But so hopefully the Knicks can pull that one out. And then like the Knicks are in a favorable portion of their schedule right now. They beat Washington and Houston. Those are two teams you have to beat. They beat Atlanta, which is a team that you're fighting with for a similar position in the playoffs. Win that game. Orlando, they're 8 games under 500. That's a game that you should be expected to win right now if you're the Knicks. San Antonio, that's a tough one because, you know, Popovich teams are always going to be tough.
Yeah.
They're playing really well out there in the West right now, which is tough. I think they're like the 6th seed in the West. They're 5 games over 500. They're a good team. Then you've got Minnesota. And see, starting at that San Antonio game, you've got, I think, 5 home games in a row.
Wow.
Or before the second half of the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the NBA hasn't released their schedule for the second half of the season, given postponements and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and like obviously everything's going to be fixed at some point, but yeah, it's still.
Yeah, so let me just finish out their schedule here for the last until the second half of the season begins. You got San Antonio, that's a tough one. Minnesota, that's winnable. They're one of the bottom teams in the West. That's at home. That's a game the Knicks are expected to win. Mm-hmm. Golden State, the Knicks beat the Warriors earlier in the season, but that's still going to be a tough game. Steph Curry is a top 3 player in the league, in my opinion, and you know if he gets on one, you never know. Then you got Sacramento, who the Knicks lost to, but you got to win that one the next time. Indiana, that's similar to this Atlanta game. They're better than the Hawks, but if you can win that one, that's huge. Once again at home. And then they round it out at Detroit and then at San Antonio again. You got to beat the Pistons. The Pistons stink. They're the worst team in the East. And then San Antonio. If you could win one of those two Spurs games, that's huge.
No, so, I completely agree.
Yeah, 14 and 15 right now. 6th seed in the East. Over these next, how many games do they have left until the break? 8. If they could go 5-3, 6-2 maybe, huge. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I have high hopes for this team. I believe that this team can win a good majority of their upcoming games. I hope that Julius Randle is considered to be an all-star.
And he's got that New York notoriety, too, where hopefully the bias is for us instead of against us because, you know, how New York athletes can be with that sort of thing. It's why Aaron Judge didn't win MVP, like, 4 years ago. So, just stupid stuff like that. But right now, the Knicks are in as good a spot as they've been for probably 8 years since 2013.
I completely agree. I mean, like I said before, the last time I felt this kind of excitement for the Knicks was Lin Sanity.
And yeah, was and then they had a good year after that, and they haven't been good since. But they've got to find a way. They got to tread above water. I want the Knicks to get over 500.
I hope so.
So that once they get above 500, hopefully, ideally, they just win against Orlando and win against San Antonio and just keep winning from there. But once the Knicks get above 500, that's when you want to kind of stick around that number, you know, like if they can stick around 500, they'll make the playoffs given that it's a 10 team system this year, but it's not out of the question at this point, if they keep playing the way they do, and if they don't lose focus and they're a young team and they're still gelling together, it's not out of the question that they could avoid those play-ins altogether if they can get a 6 or above.
I completely agree with that.
I mean, like if that can be avoided, that'd be fantastic. But right now, it's looking like the Knicks are probably definitely a top 10 team in the East.
And they're just a fun team to watch. Like,
they are.
Like I said, like I think the last time that I felt, like I said, the excitement has been a very long time. So just the idea of watching Knicks basketball and being excited to watch it and hoping that this team is able to kind of grab a playoff spot, it's been a very long time since I've been able to feel that way. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and for me, I feel like I'm a Knicks pessimist a lot of the time. You know, when they have their little spurts, like, I try not to get too high or too low.
No, of course.
But, you know, I can't help but say that this team feels a little different.
They're young, which is good.
Young, and they've got a likable team. There's a little moment after tonight's game where, like, I think it was, like, Pinson, which is kind of funny, and, like, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, like, surrounding Julius Randle, like, oh, if he's not an all-star, it's going to be a problem, before he did his post-game interview.
Fact.
And that's the sort of thing you like to see. Like, I'd like to think that these guys are playing for each other. They're playing good team basketball. They've got the second best defensive rating in the NBA behind the Lakers, who just won a title. So they've got to be doing something right. Potential trades. I don't know if the Knicks will get any, like, serious big deals done. Like, in the back of my mind, like, I'm hoping the Knicks trade for a LaVine or a Bradley Beal. I don't know how realistic that is, but, you know, I can't help it. So that's going to be in, like, the back of my head, but if they could get, like, a guy that could complement, like, Bullock, because, like, you don't, like, Reggie Bullock, he's playing, like, all right for his role, but, like, to get another guy, like, just to get a little bit, a minor upgrade at that position of the Reggie Bullock, Alec Burks position, because I feel like small forward, like, that small wing is their weakest spot. That'd be wonderful. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's about it for the Knicks stuff. It's just a lot of hope for this next few weeks. Hopefully they're able to get over 500. Hopefully this team's able to play consistently, which we haven't really seen recently. But, I mean, they've played consistently recently, just not over the past.
Consistently, like, we mean that the Knicks are so streaky that very rarely do they
ever lose. That's a better word.
Lose one game in a row or win one game in a row. It's always lose three, win two, lose four, win three. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's just
only once all season, actually, or twice, had the Knicks lost one in a row or won one in a row. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I get it.
But, like, usually it ends up being, like, some level of 2-3 kind of streakiness. So they just need to keep winning and not get too low. You know, because I feel like sometimes they'll lose three straight and they'll be like, oh man, blah, 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 blah. And then it only takes one big win for them to rattle off two or three more. And they haven't won four straight yet. They're aiming to do that Wednesday, like I said earlier. But, you know, if they're going to turn a corner, now is the time. Julius Randle's playing his best basketball all season. RJ Stewart has scored 20 in back-to-back games. Emmanuel Quickley's knocking down shots. Derrick Rose is here now. Obi Toppin's getting more minutes. And, you know, that's giving, with Mitch Robinson down, maybe him a little bit more time to shine, along with Nerlens Noel. So, I mean, there's just a lot of hope going around right now. And it feels good after a win like tonight. Because I don't know about you, but I really hate the way the Atlanta Hawks play basketball. Their style pisses me off.
Like, yeah, the whole Trae Young thing.
Complain. Like, the Trae Young, like, I don't know if you saw any of my tweets throughout the game. I was really annoyed at Trae Young. Like, I do not like him.
I'm not a huge fan. I'm
not a big Trae Young guy at all. Like, the way he plays pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. I completely get that. No, yeah. So
the Hawks got to the line a lot of times tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
What were we going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, that's about it for Knicks basketball. I mean, we could focus around the other sports real quick. I mean, not too much has gone on. The Rangers have kind of sucked recently. That's a little bit of hockey we could talk about.
Yeah, if you want to. The Rangers also haven't played in a few days either. It's like, the Rangers have lost, like, they've either lost 3 of 4 or 3 in a row. And, like, they've just got a bunch of injuries right now. They're playing the Devils tomorrow, but, you know, the Rangers are in the toughest division in hockey, and I don't expect much out of them. But, like, when they lose the way they do, it's just kind of annoying. Like, they just lose close games. It, like, makes sense because they're a young team, but, like, they're right in it, so I can't help but get mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's – Rangers hockey is always Rangers hockey. There's no other way to put it. I mean, it's just kind of the same thing
Yeah, I mean, like, they stick around with, like, the Bruins for however long they did, but it's just, yeah, they lost two close ones to one of the best teams in the league, but, like, I'm going to get mad because they're so close, like, both games. Like, you lose 1-0 in a shutout and you lose in overtime, like, winnable games, just annoying, but, you know, the Rangers are the Rangers. They're a season away, it feels like, still, like.
Yeah, that's and probably
they just, they're playing in such a strong division. Like, there's no freebies in that division.
Not at all.
Like, you got Washington, Philly, Boston, Pittsburgh. It's just not fun. It's tough. But, like, I didn't expect much out of the Rangers this year, but I still get annoyed in the moment. Like, they're still a win.
I didn't expect much of the Jets this year, and I get disappointed every.
Yeah, well, the Rangers aren't 0-13 right now. To be fair, do we have any football stuff?
Not really. I mean, nothing new.
I mean, we were wrong about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Brady winning again, what's new? I gained respect for him. I don't hate him as much as I did when he was a Patriot, but I'm never going to root for him, but he truly is. There's no argument against him being the greatest football player of all time.
Yeah. I feel like there wasn't before, and just every time he wins another one, he just strengthens it. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, the moment where I was really like, oh, my God, like, he's just the best was when 28-3 happened.
Yeah.
That for me, was my moment, but, like, whatever it takes, man. Like, he just keeps freaking winning these games. It's just crazy.
In every decade of his age, so if you look at his stats from when he was in his 20s, versus when he was in his 30s versus when he's in his 40s. That's three Hall of Fame careers right there in one.
No, I saw that too, and I was like, man, like, and yeah, he gets luckier than most quarterbacks.
But still, it's just the point of
– there's no argument against him anymore, man.
Yeah. Look, I don't believe that all seven of his Super Bowls were completely won by solely him. I do believe that he did have a lot of help along the way with both his defense and just overall –
well, of course, but that's the thing. Like, it takes a team to win, and the fact that he's guided his team there seven times is what's miraculous.
Ten times, like, really.
In all seriousness, like, he lost a Super Bowl where he threw for 500 yards. He lost a Super Bowl because of the greatest play in Super Bowl history, and, like, I'll never admit that it's lucky. I never will, but a lot of people love saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, he kind of just lost – Super Bowl 46 straight up. The Giants just outplayed the Patriots in that game, and that was just one of the greatest drives by a quarterback to end the Super Bowl ever by Eli Manning. That throw to Manningham, no. I won't hear it. That was one of the best throws in Super Bowl history and an incredible drive. But, you know, it doesn't take away from Brady at all. Like, I hope that he sees Eli Manning in his nightmares, but
Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback, greatest football player of all time. I don't think there's a debate at this point. Obviously, what's it called? I think that you could throw out the whole, oh, he was carried by Belichick mantra now. I think that was...
Yeah, no, that probably, narrative is over.
Yeah, because that was the main reason, really. I mean, that's not the main reason, but one of the main reasons why...
Yeah, the whole really system quarterback thing. I never really bought into the system quarterback argument, but, like...
I like to believe it because I don't like Brady, but he's, no debate, the greatest of all time.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult to make an argument against that man now. And for me, also, all it really does is strengthen Eli Manning's legacy as a first ballot Canton Hall of Famer.
Can't mention Tom Brady without mentioning Eli Manning.
You really can't, because Eli is his daddy, and he's 2-0 against Brady. He's 2-0 against Brady, and Mahomes is 0-2 against Brady. So really, who's the better quarterback, Eli Manning or Patrick Mahomes? Eli Manning has more rings than Mahomes. So I don't know how much longer I'll be able to say that. So I have to ride it now. He does. He has more rings than Mahomes.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah, he's one of like six quarterbacks ever to win two Super Bowl MVPs. I'm not going to hear it from any of you scrub Eagles fans right now. I have to throw an Eagles slander, even in February when we're talking about the Knicks, but whatever, that's football.
Hey, you can't mention Tom Brady without mentioning Nick Foles either.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, baseball starts in 2 days. Pitchers and catchers report. The Yankees, like, signed Justin Wilson. What's his name?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He played for the Mets. What do you know about him?
I remember you
telling me you thought he was really underrated.
I liked him at the time. I mean, look, I don't know too much about him other than the fact that I've read into a few different articles about him and I liked what I saw, I think that, I don't know, it's a solid pickup, especially for just the spring where it's not going to be something that's set in stone for the season.
Oh yeah, no, and his analytics look good. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's the main thing.
Analytics look good. Like,
but you know what? Before we get into that, I just want to say that the number one news over the past probably the entire year, extremely big, I don't know how we haven't mentioned this yet, is that the Mets invited Tim Tebow back to spring training.
I didn't even see that. I didn't realize that happened.
32, 33-year-old Tim Tebow is back with the Mets for –
And I can't believe they're keeping this circus act going, even in the new Cohen era.
Hey, if it brings in revenue, it brings in
viewers. Dude, I kind of like, I've been saying this is like the fifth or sixth year he's been in the Mets organization. Like,
he's not playing above AAA. He's not.
No, eventually they're going to call him up for a game. No, they're right? Not.
The only reason why they would be for something like revenue.
I feel like they have to at this point. They've been kind of playing cat and mouse with us since like 2016. Like, well, what would be the whole end game if they were never going to bring him up for like?
If they do, I will be very, very.
For the laughs.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be just a fun little thing.
Because lol Mets. Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. I think that'd be hilarious.
Classic Mets. I really hope that
that's like good old classic Mets. Like, that's what you'd expect from the Mets. Like, that's as Metsy as it gets-y, man. I don't know. I really like that. I think that'd be pretty funny, man.
I mean, I feel like that's a good way to end the episode, though, talking about Tom Brady and Tim Tebow. Is there anything else you want to add in about baseball?
I don't know. We don't really have much. We're going to have stuff. Yeah. We're going to have stuff really soon.
Exactly. We'll have stuff.
Having to do like a full Yankees season preview and a full Mets season preview episode because we've never really had to do that.
Mm-hmm. We definitely will before the beginning of the season.
Yeah, we'll probably bring back. I have some ideas for Mets guest, unless you have better ones, but I do want to bring back Austin Platt to talk Yankees for like 20, 30 minutes.
Of course, of course. We'll have a few different people on.
Woohoo. The guests will be back because we finally have an unlimited account back.
There you go. Well, that's just about it for episode 33. Let's just drop our socials real quick. I'm Anthony Evangelista7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow the full thing, it is Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. We'll be posting on the TikTok. We keep saying that we will and we never do, but we will eventually. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know yet.
We need our creative juices to get flowing again.
There you go.
As always, I'm at Kyle Keegan with the L's one. That's Kai1EKeegan on Instagram and Twitter. Probably two episodes this week because we need to hold ourselves accountable and because we're probably going to want to talk about the Knicks. Let me look at the Knicks. The Knicks only have one game until Friday, which is optimally when we record. So maybe we'll have Rangers and baseball stuff along with that one Knicks game.
Hey, maybe the Jets will make
a big trade. I'm really excited about the Knicks, if you couldn't tell.
Maybe the Jets will sign J.J. Watt this week. Well, no, they won't. But we'll see what happens this week. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you or listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.